Hey, you're now listening to the Longgang Kiddies podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Longgang Kiddies. This is John, your most handsome, non-swifty, non-burning man ever on the face of the planet. And now we are in a brand new location in the literal Longgang with literal kitties next to us.
How many are Jerry? How many kitties are there?
Two that you can see.
Yeah. Orange one, Boba, is not here, right?
Yeah, Boba. Oh my god.
Come here.
Boba is hiding in a closet. And then coming out of the closet, Dan Wong. How are you, sir?
I just saw the most horrific video. My dear friend Spencer, believe it or not, sent it to me. And he's like, Tien, oh, you see this one? And he sent me this video. And there was this guy.
I'm talking about Aaron Bush now.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, let me finish introducing the rest of the crew first. Okay, and then we have Jerry, the owner of the Longgang.
Thank you for sponsoring your house, Jerry. This episode is sponsored by Jerry Teo and Anna Teo.
No problem.
And then we have the lovely Angie. How are you, Angie? Has been a while since we... Oh my god.
I'm just so happy that we are here because there's like literal cats.
Yeah. And the power works.
This is like the first time the Longgang kitties actually have kitties.
Keys, yeah. Right? And we're actually like situated like right next to a Longgang.
Big one.
Yeah, big fucking one where like I have to make a very giant fucking U-turn to get to...
Don't dox me, but yeah, we're next to a big Longgang.
Super big Longgang. So big and so Longgang.
Okay, now... Dan Wong, you can talk about your horrific, traumatic event with Aaron Bushnell.
So I was about to go to sleep, and then my friend Spencer sent me this video, and I clicked on it not knowing what I'd see. So it's basically a man saying, walking. It's like a video of him walking. And what happened was that he said he was an airman in the United States Air Force, and he didn't want to be complicit in the crimes in Gaza anymore. And then he went and then he poured a liquid on himself. And by the time the camera was like live streaming, okay, he poured a liquid on himself. And I was like, what's going on? I really started to feel like very weird already. And then he set himself on fire. And then he started screaming in the most horrifying way possible. And I could see that the flames were like consuming his body. And then his eyes were like, oh my god, I've never seen somebody die so horrendously before. This is like bestgore.com. This is like facesofdeath.com. This is like the crazy shit.
Wasn't there like, I think US servicemen or whatever, like pointing a gun
at him? Pointing a gun at his burning, screaming figure as he collapsed in flames.
Yeah.
It was one of the most terrifying things. Later on, I found out, right, that there was a censored version. And I wish that my friend Spencer had sent me a censored version instead of the uncensored version, because that night I totally couldn't sleep. I just could hear his screams because he cannot tahan the pain anymore, right? He was like just screaming.
Yeah.
And then the screaming stopped. And then he just like crumpled into a black heap.
I like how afterwards all the veterans, they had a memorial. Not say memorial.
They burned their uniforms.
They're just like, well, you know, we respect your effort, but I think we'll pass. And we'll burn the next best thing.
Instead of burning ourselves, we'll burn the uniform. Hey, man.
Isn't burning yourself like in this world considered like the ultimate form of protest ever?
Self-immolation.
Yeah, self-immolation.
And people have been doing it since thousands of years ago. Am I right?
I'm not quite sure though. Like, I mean, there have been very notable cases of self-immolation, but I'm not sure in this day and age of social media and very fast attention span what one death can actually do.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Because in Vietnam, the Buddhist monks were protesting the war, right?
And
the very first case of self-immolation recorded on video happened in Vietnam, right? And the first one made waves, right? But that didn't stop, right? The Buddhist monks continued to self-immolate in protest, and quite a few of them did it, but after the third one, nobody gives shit.
I think we talked about this in a very old episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jerry mentioned this story
before.
After the
third one, nobody gave a shit, right?
That's so sad.
Right, and they have like, I think maybe 50 or 60 of them did it, you know, and no one gave a shit that media attention is already off them.
Yeah.
And my question is, like, there are people in social media who's saying that, you know, what about the copycats? Or, I think people are smarter than that, you know. I don't honestly think that with social media going by so quickly, right, he'll be forgotten within a week.
I have a controversial question for John that would damn him. Huh. Do you think that self-immolation as protest is virtue signaling?
Wow, it's damn stupid. What he did was incredibly dumb.
It cannot be. It's a
performative.
You think it's performative? No, but wait, it takes your life for the performance.
The final performance. That doesn't make sense because virtue signaling is the act of signaling without doing anything, and very often it's just like, you know, typing some words on social media. This motherfucker like burnt himself out, so it's not virtue signaling, it is signaling.
It's the ultimate signaling. But he ain't signaling no more.
He made himself into a beacon that shine for like all 5 minutes. Burn brightly. Yeah, for the five most. Minutes.
I bet the pain like extended. Like, do you know what I mean? Like in his own universe, like the pain was like an eternity.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
yeah.
To us, it was like 5 minutes. To him, it was like.
Geez. It wasn't even 1 minute.
Yeah.
The whole video was 3 minutes, and half of it was.
You
him
also
just
watched
talking.
It.
Yes.
Did course. You watch the uncensored or censored?
Of course, the uncensored one. The one where he took the video on his own, one. And then at the end, it was the military guy
shit.
Seriously. Yeah.
Who puffed him up, but it's
there
too late already.
There was a video where you could see him like selfieing himself on fire.
Yeah. Just before the self immolation, he was walking towards the embassy. Yeah.
But I think like in this day and age, like self-immolation is not as shocking as it used to be. And also very quickly after that, everyone, you know, there were just people talking about like his state of mental health, the fact that it was just he was a deranged individual instead of him making a principled stand on the situation in Gaza and Palestine. And so like, I mean, there are a lot of people coming out to discredit him instead of saying that, hey,
my
man.
My God.
Yeah. I like Mossad, the response. Our enemies always take themselves out. I mean, it sounds bad. But then if you want to take a principal stance, right, then continue to live and fight against the enemy. Yes. Don't be like self-immolating.
Or you know what? Like kamikaze, but then take everybody out as well.
No, that's a legit thing to say. I mean, if you want to self-immolate, then take out a couple of your enemies together. But then all you did was make everyone question yourself. Where everyone is just questioning your mental state. You'll be forgotten in about a week's time. Mm. Everyone's making fun of you. The 4chan memes are just out of this world. It's so fucking funny. The one that I really like the most, within like a few hours of him self-immolating, right?
Oh my God,
there was the scorpion one, where he's like, get over here. And then no scorpion, the fatality is he removed his mask.
No.
And then he spit out the fire on the ground.
Yeah.
And then there's Aaron Bushnell on fire.
Oh no.
So,
holy shit.
And then furthermore, okay? This is the best part about the Aaron Bushnell.
There's nothing secret anymore.
The best part about it, right, is somebody like draw a picture of him like in a heroic pose, and then they say rest in power Aaron Bushnell, and then the entirety of Black Twitter attacked that pose, saying because rest in power is supposed to be
a black thing.
It's a black thing.
Yes.
Oh, then rest in pride is a gay thing. Then if you're white, you're only allowed to use rest in peace. This is the level that we are. This is the state of the world.
It's
where
so fucking retarded.
When you set yourself on fire.
And then there will be like actual virtue signalers.
Make Mortal Kombat like, memes about you.
No. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't give a fuck about the 4chan memes, you know, because that's what 4chan does. But it's the people who virtue signal so fucking hard that you cannot see past the context of this guy fucking giving up his life for this cause. And then there you are. Oh, you can't use rest in power because it's a black person, bad people thing.
Yeah.
Like fuck you all, man. Seriously.
No, I love it. This goes to show you, right, how deranged the actual action is. That self-immolation doesn't even get you the allies that you think you deserve. This is the state of the world, you see.
Oh, I just want to say that, you know, primarily he's protesting something that's happening in the Islamic world, and self-immolation in Islam is actually forbidden.
Right. Suicide is forbidden in most like religions.
No. I mean, like the specifically act of burning your body is very, very bad. Like you're supposed to be buried with your full body.
Oh,
you
but
know.
He's not Muslim.
He's not Muslim, but you know, symbolically he's like
that has nothing to do with whatever is happening.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
But Jerry is trying to make an allegory, you see. This is a
It's like you're burning yourself up and then you don't even go to heaven with your 72 virgins. Is that what you're saying?
What do you have to say?
I don't even know if that's what he's saying. He's just saying that it's like you want to protest the meat industry, right? And then you do so by eating so much beef that you die from like nitrite poisoning or something like that.
You know what? Can we just have this entire podcast with like cat meows instead? I think like I think that is just the only legitimate response to this kind of bullshit. Seriously.
She ran away already.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just don't understand, you know, like why would you self-immolate when you can take out your enemies at the same time? If you really want to give up your life, right? There are so many people that you can take out concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to face the consequences.
Okay lah, maybe he's not a murderer lah, so we can give him that.
You know what we need? We need actual deranged individuals. Deranged individuals that we can brainwash into doing like really shitty things.
Angie, your bloodlust is
changing. This one, the ISD, the director of ISD is right here next to you.
Yeah, you're not scared, man.
No comments.
Director, can you see that she is deranged?
I'm looking at my phone, no comments.
Our glow in the dark is just sitting there shaking his head.
I find now you are the glow in the dark. I think you are an agent, you know. You are just like convincing people to take out the enemies, take out your enemies while you just sit there in the corner typing away at 4chan. You are the glow in the dark.
I'm just talking about the logistics of it all, you know. See, if you're gonna die, then have it matter in a bigger way, right? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, Brownie. She agrees.
What is it? Yeah, Brownie is saying that you're deranged.
Yeah, I think Brownie is saying that.
No, I think we need to get an animal communicator here and then be like, no, Brownie, what Brownie is saying is that, yes, more people should kill themselves.
I think we just need to ask the three actual cat owners of the Longgang. What is Brownie saying? You're deranged.
Brownie is saying, y'all should come more often so Boba is stuck inside the water.
Wow, you're probably right.
Yeah.
So, we are actually destroying Brownie's enemies, lah. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Your presence is very much appreciated.
So, we are the deranged ones.
This is what we should do. We should isolate the enemy.
Okay, I've enough of all this talk of burning people, screaming, and enemies. Come, let's bring the Longgang to more fertile, gentle, friendly grounds. John, do you have a place to bring us to?
How about instead of Burning Man, we burn fuel instead with Taylor Swift traveling all around the world in a private jet to visit her boyfriend.
Tay-Tay.
Making enough carbon emission to how many, like, burn, don't know how many football fields or forests. We can talk about Tay-Tay and the effect of Singapore's courtship of her has on our regional neighbors.
Correct.
And how fucking salty they are. They are just all seething and coping.
There's this super hilarious title of an article called Look What Taylor Swift's Exclusive Singapore Shows Made Its Southeast Asian Neighbors Do.
Oh, yeah. So, the one with all the displays and shit, right?
Yeah, so basically, like, the Filipino lawmaker, Joey Salcida, called on the Philippines Department of Foreign Affairs to pressure its Singaporean counterpart agency for an explanation on the delicate situation, local media reported. If true, this isn't what good neighbors do, he said. Because there was that allegation from the Thai guy.
Right, it's exclusive, right?
That, you know, Singapore signed an exclusive deal with Taylor Swift to only play in Singapore instead of
having
a stopover with the ASEAN neighbors.
Is it still a rumor?
I know it's a rumor because
didn't Edwin Tong come out and say the courtship began like
negotiate for exclusive there. They just bought up all the shows. Imagine Taylor Swift had to play 6 shows.
Yep.
Yeah, and then she wanted to do 3 in Thailand, 3 in Singapore or whatever. But Edwin Tong this is like
isn't that like basically exclusive?
That's exclusivity.
No,
right?
She can do more if she wants to. If she's so desirous to, but she doesn't desire to, then.
So actually this one, right, is a Taylor Swift issue. It's not a Singapore government issue.
Yes.
So actually Taylor Swift can do more, but then she just said, nah, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, just do it in one spot.
And, but you know what? There's this article that said that Edwin Tong led a multi-agency team to the US to help bring Taylor Swift to Singapore.
Oh, Edwin Tong's working hard. Just like Iswaran.
Okay, multi-agency.
I just want to say, Edwin Tong won, Vivi Bala nil.
No, like Viva Bala made a speech in court saying that Israel has gone too far.
No, like he spent 300 plus million on YOG.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Edwin Tong spent 1% of that, and I think there's a lot more returns.
Wow,
it looks like those anti Israel people have one thing in common. They like to burn things. Viva Bala like to burn money. And Aaron likes to burn himself. I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
John, don't make such jokes.
There might be a pattern here that I'm seeing.
What? Then the Zionists love to burn like all the Palestinians.
No, they don't burn. They just bomb. They just bomb. Just blow them up.
Same, but different.
Kinetic force and flames are different, okay? As the military experts will tell you. Yeah.
Gary, why did
I know what's another like you know, commonality. They like to use excessive show of force and resources.
Just burn through it.
Tell me why in your director experience at ISD, why did Israel carpet bomb a bunch of people going for food aid, and how can Edwin Tong stop it? Because obviously he's the...
You know what?
Bring Tay-Tay to Gaza.
Yeah. Taylor Swift, right, just need to hold a concert. Yeah,
then that's it, really. The ceasefire is done. What?
She will hold a concert, like, right in the middle of the line between Gaza and wherever, Israel. Mm. And then, right, like, both sides will come together and sing Shake It Off.
Mm. Then they just shake it off.
Shake it off. And then, right, that's how, like, everlasting peace in the Middle East and what will happen.
Didn't you guys watch the movie World War Z? So it took a zombie apocalypse for them to get together, and then they started singing Kumbaya, and then they made so much noise, the zombie climb over the wall and everyone dies. There can be no peace.
Wasn't that the Brad Pitt movie rendition?
Yes. No. But like we want a two-state solution with like everlasting peace between like, you know, Israel and Palestine. Hang on.
That's what you want. That's not what the Palestinians want.
That's not what the Israelis want either.
And not what the government wants. Therefore,
need to lead a Taylor Swift invasion.
So what?
We use the Swifties because they are the most dedicated fighters on the earth.
Right.
I don't know. Earth. I think I feel like the Blackpink people also can.
Oh, hey. Well, don't forget the BTS guys, man. BTS army.
Yeah. You're right. Guess I might be onto something.
You know what? Yeah. You know, instead of sending troops there, right? Mm. We just send all these fandom people,
the K-pop fans and the Swifties,
and go there and fight it out.
They should go there and do their Instagram posts.
And then, right, instead of using like bombs and you know, guns, right? Yeah. You know what they're going to use? They're going to use those like BB guns with like beats and use beats to shoot each other.
The influencers and the BTS army and the whatever, right, should go there when they're fighting and do Instagram posts with the conflict happening in the background.
Oh, you know what? There was this trend going around recently on TikTok when news came out that UK was conscripting, that there might be a conscription in the UK.
Oh.
And then they're all like the Gen Z people, oh my God. Then they were like spoofing like how it would look like if they all had to join the army.
Why does UK need conscription?
I mean, the possibility of conscription because of the instability going around in the
world.
It's
a long story.
Right. It's probably the same reason why Myanmar has got conscription now, right?
Yeah.
That's a different story.
It's the same story.
No, but you know what I was hearing? Like, because right now it's forced conscription, right? So in Myanmar, so like a lot of the men are saying, you know, fuck this shit. If I'm going to die, I'm not going to die for the military. I'm going to join the...
They have already done that.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a student from Myanmar and I asked
him... Don't dox the person.
No, not doxing the person. I have a student from Myanmar and I asked him, so how's it going in your country? And he basically told me, this was a year ago. He says last year, before he came over, most of his able-bodied friends, those with money has left the country, like him.
Yep.
Those without money has joined the rebels. So, is there anyone left for the junta to actually recruit? I don't know.
No, but
they are recruiting women now also, right?
Yeah. Like, not out of the possibility. Like, if there's a need, they recruit women.
But it's just
women.
Very sad because, like, right now, I was talking to a friend in HR and they were saying that they are pausing hiring of Myanmar nationals right now because like it's very unstable, and let's say like if the person needs to go back home, right, they might not be able to come back up. So like to them as HR practice, right, like imagine you hire this person, you train them, and then they go back for a break or what, and then they can't get back out, then you need to train another person. So they are not looking to hire Myanmar nationals anymore, like at this juncture in time. But it's
both
just
men
really
and women affected.
Yeah.
Gender equality.
Guys, I tell you what, let's form a Longkang Kitty superhero team and we go around the world solving problems. How about that?
John, I'm walking out this door.
Great power comes great responsibility.
I have
you
a
need
bad
to use
bag
your
and,
your
your bro, I'm like 40.
Explosive diarrhea powers to solve.
Wait, hang on. Who has the explosive diarrhea?
That's me.
Diarrhea.
That's Jerry.
That's Jerry. Okay, don't take his superpower.
Oh my God, yeah. What? Just have a bare bottom Jerry, right? We hook him up to like some kind of helicopter thing.
Okay.
You know, like with propeller on top.
Some A-team shit,
and then,
man.
Like,
good.
We feed him milk, and then he just sprays his biohazard weapon all over like the area.
Jalapeno cheese and you know jalapeno cheese.
You cannot eat jalapeno cheese. So pathetic.
I had. Okay, let's not go there. But I had diarrhea 2 days ago because I had that.
One of my favorite things, the jalapeno cheese poppers, you know.
Mm. You know
put
the
mozzarella inside.
You know, there's those like improvised weapons where you like have a lighter, then you like put a spray can behind, and you like an improvised flamethrower. Yeah. We can do that with Jerry.
Yeah.
And then have a burning Aaron Bushnell, you know, standing next to his butthole.
That's the fire.
Farts or he shits, right? And then just a makeshift flamethrower that can spray like 200 meters out.
I think it has to be farts, eh? So, Jerry, you have to eat your beans.
Yeah. Chili. Yeah.
It's all flammable.
Why does it feel like Jerry is integral to our superhero plan? Also, it doesn't feel very superhero-ish.
But Jerry is the weapon.
Living weapon.
We are just the people who press
We need to aim him, right?
Hey, the Dr. Manhattan, okay? Right here, okay?
I'll be like, Dan Wong, two points to the left. Then I'm the layer. I need to tell you the coordinates.
Okay, but seriously, did any of you get tickets to see Tay Tay?
Tickets?
No. Yeah.
Why you tried? Why are you speaking in Filipino accent? Ticket?
I said that. Did I? I said tickets.
I mean, there's a lot of Filipinos who are big fans of her, and they're quite irritated that she's not going there.
Well, that's their problem, lah. Like, I think that this is a brilliant move by our government, lah. You know, like, I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift.
Are you a fan of Edwin Tong?
No.
Okay.
But I'm a fan of the idea of having an exclusive deal to come to Singapore because, like, I mean, she is a fucking powerhouse in terms of the money that she brings into anywhere that she goes, basically. Mm. You know, she recently started dating this NFL guy, Travis Kelce, and just her appearance alone in the NFL brought in more than $300 million to the NFL.
I just want to find out, right?
Just her appearance.
I just want to find out. If STB is tracking all these things, right?
Mm.
Does Taylor Swift being here for a week equate to F1? I just want to find out. If by the end of the week that she's here, right, the amount of money that she brought in, right, is equivalent to F1, I'm going to say that Iswaran is also zero. You know, it's like, Edwin Tong 1, Vivi Bala 0, Iswaran 0. Because F1, right, it takes up 3 weeks to set up, so much inconvenience to tear
and then
out.
You close off the freaking roads.
Fantastic.
Taylor Swift coming in for a week, right? God. If she is here, no closure of roads, no nothing, everything is fine, you know, and she's bringing as much money as F1, right?
Yes. And we don't even need to buy kinky boots tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
We don't even need to.
That was a low blow, John.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Once Taylor Swift, right, is in Singapore, she is subject to Singaporean laws, right? Am I right to say that?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know, man. She's...
There might be
but
some
she's on her own. Eh?
Yeah, that's why.
Okay. There might be some special visas.
If she just decides to scream, you know, with the high pitched voice, then all the Swifties from all around the world will swarm Singapore like an invading army. Then I don't know, man. Maybe Singapore have to no choice give her some sort of diplomatic immunity.
Look, guys, what we do, right? And there's a great suggestion you gave me was that we take Taylor Swift, we strap her in a weird position onto a F1 racing car, like with her face very close to the ground, and we put a mic in front of her, and then we let her control the car with her voice, and then she will like screech around the track.
What the fuck?
Why for?
With her face very close to the ground.
No, but for what?
Yeah, what was the point?
F1 and Taylor Swift. He's gonna make the most money ever.
The real answer is Dan Wong didn't think this through.
No, guys, F1 combined. Imagine Taylor Swift strapped to an F1 car with her face close to the ground.
Why can't you just have her do a concert here during the 3 days? And that would like just triple the F1.
You know what will happen, Dan Wong, if you do that?
Yes.
Every fucking country around Singapore is going to attack us because we attack Taylor Swift.
We did not attack her. We must make her do it. We must make her do it willingly.
You're putting her face close to the ground, strapped in a car.
Don't you want
to
see
her scream around the track?
Yeah. It's like...
You're going to start the third world war from Southeast Asia.
I think
it's the pretty girl in peril movie, like the exploitation movies in the 70s.
No, I don't think anybody want to watch
that. Where you have... guys, back me up on this. Don't you want to see Taylor Swift screaming around?
First of all, I think that's a terrible idea. I think there's like,
I think it's
significantly more creative ways to merge Taylor Swift and F1. I'm sure even like just
we put her on a track and then we let the cars try and knock her down.
You know when they say track, right? Music track, they're not talking about the road, you know, that long. Just so that we are clear, music track, you know, audio track. It's different. Okay.
I know it sounds the same and it spells the same, but actually it's very fundamentally different.
Yes.
Okay. If you don't want to put her like, in danger, this is what we do. Put bombs around the F1 track.
Oh, come on.
They will only be affected by a pitch in her voice. So when she sings the song, right, then when you reach a certain pitch, individual bombs will explode.
Oh, wait. What about what? If she zao xia or what? Then like, you know, when she zao xia, then one bomb, jiboom.
Correct. And the F1 drivers have to navigate around the bombs. That one I can accept.
Oh, well, so long as you can accept it, then I guess it's all hunky dory then. Ain't it then, Wong?
Let's write a proposal. I'll put together a deck. Let's go and find Edwin Tong. Let's go. We only got a few more days on here.
Then you just need to accept self immolation.
I will accept self immolation.
You mean like then you self immolate? Yes, I agree. Yeah.
But anyway, I saw Taylor Swift yesterday. I went to go and eat, Prata at Newton Circus, and then she was there, and then I hung out with her, and then we had some beers. It was cool.
I'm sure.
And then that's where she gave me the F1 idea. And that's how I'm suggesting to
like,
you guys.
Mom, you know what I would really like? I would really like to be strapped in with my face close to the ground and like scream around the F1 track. That's what she
said. And then the next moment, right, Lydia is slapping Demon's face. Wake the fuck up. We got things to do. Come on, you lazy husband.
You're supposed to record the Longan Kiddies.
Yeah, that's why.
And you're late for it.
Late for one hour.
Late for it too, but I was less late.
I was late for 15 minutes. Angie was late for half an hour. Then Dan Wong takes the cake by 50 over a minute.
Yeah, I'm not late because this is my home. For the first time.
We're just making up for all the times that like Jerry was late.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Actually, another thing I want to say is, right, Singapore is looking at the Taylor Swift thing as a B2B, you know.
Mm.
Whereas all the other countries in Southeast Asia are looking at B2C. Oh, please choose us. Mm. Then we're just like, it's business, it's negotiation, straight up, let's go to the money. You want money? We give you money.
I mean, but, you know? Okay, like there are a lot of people, the fans are that say that it's very unfair that Taylor Swift not going to their country.
Who cares?
And it's so expensive to come to Singapore, blah, 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 blah. But in all honesty, right, this is not about your fandom and your love for Taylor Swift. It's about how much money she generates for the local economy, right?
It's about how much she generates for herself.
Yeah.
If she wanted to do it for the fans, she literally could. She has all the leverage in the world. Mm. The Singapore government cannot compel her to be here.
Yeah.
Right? The Singapore government can only dangle a carrot in front of her and then she choose to accept or not. If she decides that she doesn't want the carrot and then she's just like, oh, you know what? I refuse. I will do five different shows.
Because I love my fans so much. I will go to all the different stops in Southeast Asia so that everybody can see me. But she didn't. Okay, she didn't. She doesn't love you enough to do that.
Yes.
So don't come for us. Go for her.
We are just ahead of the curve. Okay. This is one thing we got to praise about PAP. I know on TikTok now everyone is saying we're anti-PAP. That's not true. Okay. The PAP, when they do good things, we pat them on the head, okay?
Yeah.
We do the PAT on the PAP, alright?
I want to see you actually pat Lawrence Wong on the head. Good job. Edwin Tong.
Although Lawrence Wong is right now like playing like his guitar, Taylor Swift song on his TikTok, it's so fucking gross, honestly. Everybody's just lapping it up and
it'll be worse if he actually sang the lyrics, huh?
So I guess we should be grateful for
Can it be any more? Honestly speaking, right? No, Angie, when the last time you mentioned that WPE has a very weak social media presence and social media game, right?
Yeah.
And then I look at the PAP, the ministers and the MPs, right? I look at the social media game, right? I'm like, fuck, man, this is boomer cringe, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's cringe, but
like it.
but it's
the
done.
Boomers
right?
like it, lah.
No, not just boomers. The young kids like it. They love it. They go on it and they like, they just lap that shit up.
I think it's only appealing to the boomers and the zoomers. Then the millennials are just, oh my god, this is so cringe. Because we are the middle child of history, you see. We are stuck in this place where...
Nobody cares about us.
Yeah, we're stuck in this place where we are not old enough to be cringe, but we're not young enough to be not cringe. So then we are in this weird cringe twilight zone. where we can see the cringe, but we can't. But we also can see the bass.
We see the cringe, but we cannot enjoy the cringe. That's so sad.
Correct.
I really want Edwin Tong in Parliament to strip off his like top. Let's go topless to Pritam Singh. Hold him by the tie, like, baby, we got bad blood, and you look like sad mud. They're slapping like stroke his beard, you know. Oh my
that's
god.
That's actually pretty good, actually. I would like to see
that. That's actually not cringe, that's bass, okay? That's bass. That's bass and Swifty Pilt, okay?
You know what? I recently shared this meme.
How do you know these words?
I just recently shared this meme and I really fucking love it. And it is basically just do not kill the part of you that is cringe. Kill the part that cringes.
Whoa. This is some like Shao Han level of...
That's cringe.
Yeah, that's really cringe.
Yeah.
Kill that part of you that cringes.
No, I will
no,
not.
No, I will okay? not. Yeah,
the cringe,
I enjoy
the cringe
feeling
reflex,
the cringe.
Is very important. Okay? We, all of us are born with a cringe organ. Do not do
apparently not
cringe
boomers or zoomers.
Cringe stoptomy or don't know what. Don't cut out the cringe organ. Okay? It's important. It tells you when you should stop. Like when Dan Wong keeps going on and on about the Taylor Swift and
the
F1 track and whatever... The cringe
you felt it? Did you feel cringe?
The cringe
when I
organ
said that?
Should have kicked in, kicked him in the nuts, and told him, Dan Wong, it's time to stop.
Ridiculous.
But somehow he managed to suppress it.
He doesn't have it anymore.
Don't be ridiculous. Okay. Yeah. I definitely have a cringe organ.
No, you do not. Okay.
In the next live stream, right, if you like I try to do like Naruto hand signs in front of the camera to summon the Ninetales Fox and I will not be able to do it because I'm cringing too hard, you see? That's proof.
Do we have anything else we want to talk about Taylor Swift or
no,
any of the seething and saltiness of our ASEAN neighbors?
Not really. I just love the saltiness because it's like there's so much that you can criticize Singapore about, but you choose to criticize Singapore about
our Taylor efficiency.
Swift. Yeah. And also I want to put a counterpoint to all those people saying that, hey, why, you know, y'all do this, Taylor Swift never come to a spare a thought for her. She's doing this Eras tours for her 18 months nonstop. She's now parked in one location. She can rest. Her crew can rest. You don't only think about yourself. You don't ever think about her. You only want her in your country, in your city, so you can go and see her.
Actually, there's this drag performer called Taylor Sheesh in
they can get Taylor Sheesh.
Yeah, then she's like apparently going around and giving like free shows and...
Nice.
So
nice,
I guess
nice.
You guys, if you cannot come to Singapore, then just go see,
you know,
Taylor Sheesh. La.
Taylor Swift should pay Taylor Sheesh.
Yeah,
for helping her further her brand.
I'm just curious, right? If Thailand somehow had done the exact same thing that we did and got to her before we did and wooed her before we did, and now Taylor Swift is performing in Thailand,
we'd probably say the same thing.
Yeah, we would be jealous of Thailand as well. So.
I don't think our ministers would have come out to say, "Oh, this isn't very neighborly." Though.
Yeah, I think we will just be like,
"Don't be bitter."
Be better.
Yeah. You know what we'll do? The next time, we'll just sign her on even before anything happens.
Oh my god.
That's what our minister
will choke first. We just throw a pack of tissue paper at her.
The next tour. Yeah, you know.
Like, smack her right in the face.
With a big fat cow tissue paper.
Excuse me, Miss Swift.
Yeah, you've been choked.
We are swiftly chopping you.
Swiftly chopping the Swift.
Oh, but you know what is cringe? You know what is really fucking cringe?
Tell us, Angenio.
Dr. Maliki in Parliament.
What happened to him?
Saying all the cringiest shit.
Okay, we are moving on now from Swifties to
Malikis.
Educationists, please.
What did I didn't read the notes.
Maliki
I didn't.
Osman.
Yeah.
Second Minister of Education.
Did you just call him Osman?
Osman.
Osmanthus.
He's
Osman.
That's short for Osmanthus.
On none of your business, bruh.
Okay, what did Maliki Osmanthus say?
So recently, Louis Ng, my favorite PAP MP, went into Parliament to talk about like teachers' workloads and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then Maliki Osman was just like, you know, teachers should guide students and be there for them if they face problems, not just teach.
Teachers need to do more, basically.
Yeah.
Basically, Louis Ng is just trying to tell them, hey, you know, maybe we should alleviate the administrative duties of teachers. And then Maliki Osman be like, yeah, you know, maybe you should get them to do more.
You know what he said? He said, if a student approaches a teacher with personal problems, the teacher should not say, sorry, it is not my work because I only need to teach you.
I have never heard of a teacher
yeah.
who have said that or done that.
No, this is what he said. This is because it is their job to guide students through their educational journey holistically. But the thing is, right, like, teachers have never fucking done that in the entire fucking history of education.
I mean, there might be one or two bad apples.
Maybe yeah. in university, maybe in polytechnic, but certainly not for primary school and certainly not for secondary school. Most of the educators that I know go above and beyond to counsel these kids, to help them, to give them aid if they need to give them aid. Mm. And then they also have to be like fucking teacher counselors, some of them. And this motherfucker has the balls to say that, oh my god, you can't just teach them, okay? You have to do more.
Is that part of the contract though? I'm really curious. Is that really part
of
the contract?
Not part
I don't
of
think
the contract,
it's a contractual thing, but they definitely have SOP to deal with grief, to deal with boy-girl relationship, to deal with
parents,
assault, criminality. They have a whole gamut of situations that they need to deal with. And if you think about it, if let's say you are the form teacher, and then you have this student that actually have some personal problems that will eventually carry on into their classroom, wouldn't you be like, oh yeah, we should probably solve the root of the problem rather than just try and force this kid to do more quadratic equations and that will learn him? That doesn't happen,
and
right?
And not just that, right? So, like, the point that Louis Ng brought up in Parliament is because, right, he's always brought up, like, issues of overloading of teachers and educators. Mm. And basically, right, he was asking the ministry to reduce the amount of non-administrative work for teachers. Mm. And then because they are also required to do counselling work. And then right now, they're asking them to be wellness ambassadors to provide a listening ear to their fellow colleagues.
Yes, yes. Please let teachers do less saikang.
So, yeah, basically, Louis Ng is just saying, like let the teachers teach instead of doing all this admin, counselling, rubbish, nonsense shit that they are tasked to do. That they're not paid extra for.
That bit with the colleagues sounds suspiciously, correct me if I'm wrong, suspiciously like the job of a HR department.
It is supposed... It's not even... Like, why...
So okay, why don't they have a HR department doing HR stuff?
I think it's reasonable to say that, okay, as colleagues, right, sometimes you vent and then sometimes you bitch to each other and that's fine, but it shouldn't be even fucking be on, like, any kind of... Okay, you must provide a listening ear and provide counselling for your fellow colleagues. What the fuck is that shit, man? Seriously.
Oh, wait, hang on. He mentioned colleagues, not just students?
Yeah. Mm.
That's crazy, man.
That's what they call wellness ambassadors.
Do you think Maliki Osman is very popular with teachers now in that case?
I don't even think Maliki Osman is popular at all.
No, hang on. The question I want to ask Mr. Osman is, hey, do you provide, you know, counselling and services to your fellow MPs and ministers?
Yeah, as he practice what
you know,
he preaches.
Yeah. Are you putting in time to go and ask, you know?
Maybe he was one of the fellow who tried to counsel Tan Chuan Jin.
Yeah, maybe. I was just going to say that, you know, have you tried to reach out?
Just like, hey, you know, I'm the second minister for education. Let me educate you on certain things, okay?
Yeah.
For example, morality, for example, fidelity and loyalty.
Maybe I should teach you the definition of populism. So you can use it in parliament.
Exactly.
Maybe I don't have to teach you about fucking because clearly you know all about fucking.
But I got to teach you not to use the word fucking.
In parliament.
That's why he never use. Except like this. Oh my goodness.
It'd be hilarious if he really had an office, you know, and fucking Lee Hsien Loong and everybody go to his office one by one, lie down on the couch and then turn in the problems.
That's the thing. But I think people go to Lee Hsien Loong.
Oh, he's because, the counselor.
Yeah, I think people.
No wonder
he
got so much
do,
white hair.
Yeah,
you know,
listen
stress,
to all
man.
These stupid shit, man.
Yeah, I think Lawrence Wong's gonna be the next one. Give him 5 years all white.
Oh,
hair.
Let's see how much white
hair.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll grow white hair, jaded
probably,
haggard? Do you think he will?
We should do like a Lawrence Wong hair watch.
Yeah, seriously. I think we should start. We should
start. Monthly, we just count the number of white hair that appears on his head.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You know, because it's just ridiculous, lah. Like, you know, teachers do go through a lot of nonsense. I just want to put it across that MOE has over the years degraded the power of teachers have in the classroom already.
Yes,
and that's giving them a lot of stress.
Yeah,
you know, they've gone to the point where I think a lot of teachers just don't really care. They're just, hey, I'm paid to teach, I'll just teach, you know.
No, like, and the thing is, right, like, I mean, your specialty is teaching, your specialty isn't counseling, your special like, and you know, the thing is, right, like, the with mental health in Singapore, we don't have actually a regulatory board. You know, anybody, any fucking buddy can say that they are a counsellor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay.
So now that's I am a counselor.
That's why Maliki is counseling people, is he?
I see.
Even though he's got clearly no
Brownie agrees.
Brownie, counsel us. You can be a counselor.
Yeah, you know what? Cats would be the best counselors. All you need to do is snuggle up with them and and they pull on you and then all your problems go away.
Yes.
Basically. But yeah, I mean problem with teachers counseling, right, is that there's no guidelines for anything like privacy of the student. You don't know what you're doing, and then a lot of them sometimes might exacerbate the problems that the students face because the teachers are not given guidelines on how to behave in a professional way like counselors should behave because they're not given enough training.
Okay, so, I think nowadays the schools have counselors on staff already.
Yeah, they do.
But they are very understaffed.
Yeah, they are very understaffed. Yeah, they are. But that's I think what the SOP is meant to do is to, okay, first level interaction is always with the form teachers or with whatever teacher that spots the problem. I've had escalate up to some senior level, some key position holder, usually like a year head or something. Then subsequently, they will determine, okay, what is the extent of the problem? Then maybe kick it up to a counselor or kick it up to somebody else. So there's a filter process where they need to determine what is the extent of the issue that the student is facing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is that bad of a thing. Of course, the issue I think is the nature of the world has become significantly more complex. And not only that, there's an explosion
in mental health issues as well.
And there's a lot of changes going on within the education system itself. Just last year, I believe, or this year, it changed from the streaming the system to the, now they call subject-based banding, SBB system.
There was just this news that just came out a couple of days ago where they say that the N-levels and O-levels are going to be replaced by one exam.
Yeah. But that one actually is okay because that one is a unified Singapore exam. So it means to say that we are actually good enough to abandon Cambridge.
Yes.
Yeah. So
the
actually that one
on Cambridge is over.
So I think that one is probably a good thing. But the subject-based banding, right, is very complex because you as a student, you can take higher level subject A, then mid level subject B, then low level subject C.
Mm.
But then what this creates is shortage of classrooms and shortage of teaching areas. Because what you have to do now is, instead of everybody in one class, right, let's say there's 20-something people in this class, then now these 20-something people all have to split up to go to different levels of the subject that they need to attend.
Makes sense.
This creates a lot of shortages. On top of that, teachers need to behave like event organizers also, because let's say there's a National Day, Hari Raya, Chinese New Year, they are also organizing events, right? Whatever awards day, whatever
CCA,
the soccer tournament, right? They have to organize all this. On top of all of that, they have all their administrative things. They need to create slides for this thing, that thing.
And then on top of that, sometimes they're asked to teach about things like Palestine and Israel.
Yeah, then now you got to be their friend and be a mentor and you need to do more. It's like, I don't know what other shit can we throw at teachers? I mean, you want them to get them to shine my shoes and iron my shirts as well?
Yeah, cook their meals also.
Give me a fucking foot massage, why don't you? Because I don't know what else we can throw to teachers to make them do more.
So let's just say you're the government. How would you attract teachers knowing that you're not going to budge on this issue? They're still going to have to do a fuck ton of work, just like what Maliki Osman says.
I think the main thing, the administrative duty part, right, is probably the biggest impediment. Generally speaking, it's not about the money, because frankly speaking, the money is not worth it. And it's not about the duties you have to perform, because actually, if you're in this line and you're stuck in it for long periods of time, it means to say that this is probably your calling. But then, if your calling is to connect with people and to solve their problems, the last thing you want to do is to stare at a bunch of paperwork and then go and fill out forms, go and go through the bureaucratic red tape. This is probably the last thing you want to do. So that some sort of load off for the teachers to have some of their administrative duties performed by someone else, I think it's a good start.
Correct.
It doesn't need to be, one time we hire 100,000 people to go and settle all the administrative duties of teachers around Singapore.
Mm.
That's not what I'm suggesting. But at least some level of it being shipped off. Actually, all schools have their own HR department also. you can probably have some of them take on a little bit more, right? Since they're not teaching or whatever. Or maybe, I don't know if MOE school have HR department. I think private schools have. But if MOE schools don't have, then maybe this is one thing that you can consider. Get a HR department, get them to do some of the administrative details. Things like procurement, booking bus. All these things teacher need to do, man.
Mm.
Right or not? Like, why the teacher need to go and order food for an event? Why the teacher need to book buses to get the kids from point A to, I don't know, to let's say the bird park or whatever.
Wrong, if I'm not wrong, Louis Ng has brought this up in Parliament several times of like hiring administrative staff just for administration stuff. But I think the other like big stressor for teachers is the availability to parents, like their availability. Because right now, a lot of them are in WhatsApp group chats or whatever kind of Slack or Telegram or something where they are available to parents 24/7.
My and understanding then, like, is that one is voluntary. Yeah, some teachers, they are on call.
It's supposedly voluntary, but it also depends on school culture and what the prevailing school culture is. So even if you don't really want to, you might have to do it if everybody else around you is doing it, right? Or if your principal has this like policy.
This one, I don't know if policy can solve it. This one is more of an individual
Let's just say that we pass a law that says that you're not to contact teachers outside of school hours. Right?
If your son got into an accident and you need to inform your teacher.
These are like exceptional, a lot of my teacher friends harassed on the daily, on the regular, by fucking stupid, retarded kids and their parents These kids are like, oh, I don't know what the teacher say in class. So these parents like message the teachers at, I don't know, 11 p.m. at night. Homework.
I've heard of that, but I don't know if a law is required but it
has
to solve
it. I think there has to be like, you know, in Australia, they just passed a law where they say that your employers cannot contact you after work hours.
Okay lah.
And of course, in exceptions where your kid gets into a freaking accident or whatever happens, that can be an exemption. But then, like, for the regular shit, like, oh, what should he bring to class tomorrow? I don't think you have to.
I would say a lot of these things, I think, are already mitigated because the teachers have already put out this kind of information onto WhatsApp groups. But if the parents, they themselves are like their kids
but
all over the place.
Have you met parents, Jerry? Have you met parents?
Parents are our friends, man.
Have you met people on Carousel? You list every fucking thing on the fucking listing. Yeah. And then
How much is it?
It was this.
$50 can. Got delivery, you know.
Yeah. So it's just fucking, it's just retarded people like that, like, honestly. And I mean, Unfortunately, a lot of parents are like that.
Yeah, I understand. Because
and entitled.
But this is something that is a systemic problem with MOE. Because MOE, it's not just MOE. I guess the whole of Singapore, they've gone to the ISO 9000 standard for many years already, right? And the ISO 9000 standard is like a set of paperwork and a set of rules for how you should respond to certain things. And I think that kind of takes a lot of power away from MOE. And I don't think that was a good decision to adopt the kind of standards so wholeheartedly, in the sense that teachers are supposed to produce a certain set amount of things, hit a certain set amount of KPIs and respond at a certain time. Like, not every kind of job requires or really needs that kind of response time. But the thing is, they're adopting it. So the teachers, they have to do it to hit the KPIs, otherwise their performance cannot be measured. Like, that doesn't make sense.
I think the worst part is always the fact that like teachers have no power to say no.
I'll tell you this story. This story happened to my nephew. Okay, so my nephew recently, his whole classroom, I don't know if I mentioned it in the previous episode, the whole classroom, right, was caught reading comics in a math class.
Nice.
Right? They're all caught, like, passing the comic book around. And
what comic was it?
I don't know. My sister didn't mention. So what happened was, even if not every one of them read the comic, most of them were reading it, or those who were reading it were disruptive enough that the teacher just said, okay, stop. Everyone stop. Everyone's going to get punished.
Okay.
So the punishment I had to go home and write 150 lines of, I will not read comics in math class again.
So sad.
That's very standard. What do you expect the teacher to do?
It's not terrible. It's not groundbreaking. Right? It's not difficult. Oh, yeah. Just write, I don't.
You know what I did one time? Yes. I tied like four of my
pencils.
Together.
And then you start.
Yeah, exactly, right. But you know what? It actually is way harder to control than actually just writing a body fucking thing.
But then again, like the 150 lines, right? So it's okay, it's a little bit excessive. Maybe, I don't know the deadline for it, but once the punishment was meted out, and then they went back home, and then they complained to their parents. Parents just fucking whacked the teacher on the WhatsApp group, and then the teacher have to give in. If I'm the teacher, I would like, no, I'm not giving in. I will take a career hit just to die on this hill because you motherfuckers need to discipline your kids. If you don't know how to discipline your kids, it's not worth it, lor. So the teacher just
why would I jeopardize my career and my pay just so that your kid learns a lesson? Like, fuck your kids.
Let them die.
Exactly. So now the power has been taken away from teachers. The teachers have no power to say certain things, right? And then you're piling on so much responsibility on them. And the kids have more say because they just go and complain to their parents and the parents will come and save the day. You know, I fuck up, my parents will save me. Somebody will save me. That's the lesson they're getting,
disgusting.
Right?
Disgusting.
And you know what my sis did? My sister didn't tell my nephew that the punishment has been reduced to 50 lines. She made him write the 150
Well
lines.
Done.
Good job. Good job.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. How are you?
No, but like, I think that the other problem is like, I think in my time, in my day, going to school, you know.
Auntie Angie.
Yeah, when you have to climb mountains to get to your
school. My mom goes to the teacher and say that you want to hit, you just hit. You know, whatever. Like, I mean, of course, there would be room for a lot of abuse.
Within reason.
But like the standard idea was that the teachers and the educators had like some sort of
autonomy
and to discipline the child as they see fit. You know, I mean, I think that like often I was punished unfairly, of course.
I think the 150 think lines is really not excessive. Really. It's really not excessive.
Yeah, man.
I don't know how long it's going to be. Was it the next day or is it next week? I don't know.
No, but even then, I my standard punishment was just writing lines, and I sometimes would not hand it in on time, and then they will compound, like, do like 100, then become 200, then become 500, then become 1,000, right? Then the way to escape this is for them to compound so much
that they forget.
That it's impossible to do.
And then it gets written off.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why my teachers hated me when I was a kid.
Wow.
But then just don't do.
They found the cheat code in the system.
Then my mom will be caught in.
Just don't do.
Then my mom will be very angry. Yeah,
then your mom will be like, ah, 你要打就打.
Yeah, then you, say, whack, you just whack. Then I said, for me, right, I'd rather you whack me, you know, than I fucking write out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, same here. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather just take a punishment.
Take the
fucking
cane.
Yeah, I'll take the cane anytime over writing yours.
Exactly, because your logic is whack.
Pain only.
Pain for how many days only? Right. Whack law. Because if I write, I have to spend the entire week writing. But if you whack me, it's just 2 seconds.
Yeah, I'm more afraid of the humiliation than the pain. Yeah.
No, actually, like, I remember when I was in secondary school, being like cane on stage, right, it was like a form of.
Respect, mark of
you have street cred, you know.
It's a street cred thing.
After that, all the boys will walk off the stage and everybody will go, whoa. Which is like,
no, clapping! How dare you clap! Engineer, I saw you clap!
Get on the stage right now! Get your fucking...
This is not something to be proud of!
No, we will never...
I got you there for that. A split second, I saw the fear.
We will never clap. But we will always like, whoa, hey, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Who here cannot kidding?
I never did.
Your talk, big game, right?
I cannot whack in class, but not public gaming.
I also cannot whack in class. My teacher gave me a full palm slap.
On the face?
Yeah.
Nice.
Slap me into yesterday. You know?
I never cannot public caning, but I cannot public haircut.
Okay.
And then the public haircut, right? It's not, you know, the public haircut is not the teacher cut nice, you know. Yeah. It's
of course, it's like
the discipline master pulls out.
Pulls out your fucking hair, right? Yeah.
Because we got long fringe, mah, last time, right? All the Guo Fu Chen haircut, right? So he pulled out the one lock of the fringe
and then
he chopped very close to your scalp.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
you look like the dog bite your hair.
Either you go and do a bota, right? The next day. Or you just leave it all. So I left it.
Wow.
And was just a
rebel.
Blank. Yeah, I left it.
It's like, okay, this is my mark of like insolence.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and then the discipline master, right, called me up the next few days, right? Why you never go and cut your hair?
But you cut already.
Jerry!
Then you can be like, yeah, but it fits all the requirements. Or you see, never touch my ear, never touch this, you will carry this.
But eventually, my mom forced me to go and cut. But that was like within a week. It was very ugly, but...
I had this band teacher when I was in primary school, and she is a bit of a sadist, I think. And then she'll use, like, you know, when you hold your trumpet, right? She'll put a pencil on the trumpet, and then if it slides down, she'll take the drumstick and then fucking whack your fingers.
What?
Think of BMT sergeant hurts, even do that.
Fucking painful. Like, so I always have like bruises and everything. Yeah.
Imagine your BMT sergeant do that. You put a 20-cent coin on your rifle and then, hey, if the rifle slip off, I'm going to whack you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's really like, then I remember the first time you hit me, I was so shocked. I was like, oh, did she really just hit me?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was so hard, you know? Yeah. And then like, I was like, oh my God, my fingers are broken.
The first time I was hit in public, I think my cheeks and my ears burned with shame.
Really?
Yeah, then the pain wasn't much, but it was the shame.
I remember like being sent out of school class a lot. Yeah.
That's very you all never kena caning, that's why you all don't have the street cards, you see. But I kena caning.
What do you get caned for?
Throwing clay into swimming pool. to the next door condo.
Nice.
We were on the fourth floor because I take art. Then actually our school have the pottery class.
Right.
Yeah, Outram Secondary School.
You're like, fuck this to be.
Sorry, not Outram, Nanqiao. Back then when it was at the Real Valley campus. So then we were on the fourth floor. Then we all took turns. The whole class did it, by the way.
So everybody got caned?
No.
Only you.
Only my friend go and admit. He's my best friend. He go and admit,
you know. Idiot.
He called out your name.
No. I go and volunteer, so you don't suffer alone.
Wow,
then I thought right that my action will inspire others, just as he inspired me. No, it's just the two of us. Like bloody idiot. Then the whole time, the teachers came up to us one at a time.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, the damage you cost $100,000. Then at first I like a big kid, I'm like, oh my God, $100,000. Then the next teacher came, you know, the damage you cost $250,000. I was like, hey, hang on. There's some discrepancy here. Then the discipline master, who was a bit of a clown. His reputation was a bit of a clown in school. Do you know how much damage it cost? $500,000. I'm just like, okay. You're bullshitting us at this point.
I don't think you even know how much damage it costs. Yeah.
No, I love how at first you get scared. And the more they bullshit, the more you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, it's very obvious at this point that they are just trying to hang us, right?
But it's just hilarious. I'm like going overboard.
Then initially they wanted public caning, but I end up didn't. Just caning in the principal's office. But I still got the street cred lah.
Thank
goodness.
You know our principal office, right? Like there was this time there was this very younger principal who came into our school, and he's like one of those young hip like principals. So he was quite well liked. And then we were hearing rumors, right, that he would like have PlayStation, Sega in his principal's office.
Right, right.
Some of the kids, right, if they are more close with him, they can go in and play games. Yeah.
Wow,
really? Yeah,
so good.
Yeah. Is this true though?
I don't know. We never verified because I was never asked to go into. But one time when I was sent out of class, he came upon me because he was doing his rounds, and then he was asking me, "Oh, what are you doing out here?" Yeah. Then I was just like in my head, I was like, "Obviously, I was sent out of class, lah. What do you think I was doing out here?" So I didn't say that. I just said, "Oh, I'm just admiring the scenery."
Yeah.
Well, Lan, you are really a jiaogie woman, you know. Jiaogie student.
Yeah. Then he like looked at me. Then he's like, okay, continue admiring the scenery." Then he walked off.
Wow. I think if it was my principal, he would just like slap me and push me over the balcony or what.
I was I was a very idiotic asshole sometimes.
Funny how John, you are like. Yeah, yeah. E.T. You've learned very young, you cannot call E.T. to fun because E.T. got you killed.
All your hiati kia at the end of the day, I will just abandon you one.
Yeah. Just pawns, man. They were just pawns.
That's why
they were just exit game.
Like, have you ever gone back for like school reunions and then like people tell you about what you did last time? They're like, did I do that?
Never. No, man. I don't know anybody from my secondary school. I mean, very few.
Not the secondary school, but the like my gaming group. That one, quite a lot. But then the school stuff, a lot of it, we don't talk about school stuff anymore.
Right.
I only
you are different people now, Angie.
Yeah, I only kept in touch with three people from secondary school.
I just feel like I have such huge chunk of memory losses of what happened when I was a younger person.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It will get worse as you grow older.
It's fucking terrifying because I went back for like a secondary school band reunion and then like, remember that time you almost like threatened to punch the discipline master? I was like, what? And then like, the senior boys have to pull you off into another room so that you don't punch him.
Angie, oh my God. I'm legit terrified of you there.
No,
wow.
I don't remember doing that. I'm not a person who's violent.
You know what's funny?
Did you hear that? Did you hear what she said?
Hold up.
I'm a violent person.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you know in this room everybody's afraid of you because of your violent
tendencies? I'm not afraid of
her. Have you seen how I love the kitties?
No, they're different. I'm talking about humans.
You're like violent towards humans.
I will just say people can change.
Yeah, I have.
She doesn't.
Maybe she mellowed out, but she still has got the rage inside of her, you know, the bloodlust.
I think I've known her the longest in this room, right?
She knew me since I was
there. And then you were even ragier back then.
See?
Yeah, I was way ragier back then.
Yeah, now it's less.
Now, like, age has mellowed me.
But then it's not. It's...
No, but I was never like a physically violent person. I am verbally violent.
I don't know about that.
No,
you just suggested to Aaron Bushnell that he like strap an IED to his chest, run in and blow shit up.
I'm only suggesting like violence to people who are already having that kind of violence. Violent tendency. I'm okay. Just an enabler, that's all.
Okay. You enable yourself,
I'm not, but I'm not violent, see? So
you
I don't want to kill myself.
I feel like you are extremely violent, but you know. We just agree to disagree. I think, but it's 3-1 vote, so you. If this was a democracy,
I was so disturbed that I would forget like this kind of episode, right? That I just went around and asking people.
That you started punching people. Tell me now.
Did I really do that?
If the younger you punch your really slug, really fucking clock your discipline master in the face, do you think you could have caused some damage?
Probably not, because I didn't understand like how to do it properly.
No, see, the thing is, right, I think you didn't remember because you didn't actually do it.
If you actually did it,
you would remember.
Apparently, like, they pulled me off in time, but I was very angry at him.
If you did it, you probably remember because there are repercussions.
And also because it probably didn't happen to me, because apparently, according to what I've heard from the recount, like, he was accusing my best friend of doing something. Then I got real angry. And I'm like, how dare you, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Like, it's not even yourself.
I think that's why I don't remember.
Right.
Yeah. But anyways.
This feels like what, you know? This feels like now I know how all the manga artists, right, they draw about high school stories. It's all this kind of small little snippets of, like, hey, the last time, this who almost flew, you know, flying fist at the swim master.
The thing
is,
right, I think they probably magnified it in their heads, right, over time. And then I just became this person who's like so ragey that I will go punch a discipline master with him. I'm probably just exchanged words with him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Press X to dope.
Yeah. Totally, 100%.
Pressing all the X's.
Okay, ladies.
Are we not talking about MOE and Palestine and Gaza?
Yeah, we can't talk about that anymore already. We've been censored.
We absolutely can. We are about to dive straight into it now since we're on the topic of MOE and all of the good things that they are doing.
Actually, I don't know the full story.
Okay. I'm going to give you the broad strokes just based entirely off my memory.
Okay.
MOE has come out with some sort of slides to give to teachers. And then the individual teachers from the respective schools can subsequently alter the slides. Because every school is different, right? They have different profiles of students.
Every school is a good school. What are you talking about?
Different profile of students. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're supposed to send out these slides to the students and let them know about Singapore's stance about the conflict. About the Israel-Hamas conflict. And I think they even specifically frame it as an Israel-Hamas conflict. So what they are saying is, okay, Singapore is a friend to both Israelis and Palestinians, but they do not condone their actions. Okay? And then it labels Hamas as a terrorist organization. So far, so good. Everything is okay. And to be clear, they are not saying that Singapore is remaining neutral. In fact, I think they are saying that Singapore has called for ceasefire numerous times.
Yeah, they have.
I think they have voted in the UN, the Assembly Councils and whatever. So, they are not even saying that, oh, we are neutral. They are just saying, look, the bigger world is more complicated than it is. Here's our stance. And then here, you can tell us how you feel. So then the teachers can individually address the students.
Mm.
Apparently, they have a few options. Either they are sad, they are angry, they are apathetic, or they are fortunate to be in Singapore.
Whoa. They have a multiple choice thing.
Yeah, I think so. So, and maybe a few other choices are depending
Can
on
Can I take
which...
all? Can I take all?
Can.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Can.
Fair enough.
But of course, it's very contradictory lah. But
sad and apathetic.
Yeah, you can be sometimes sad, sometimes apathetic. Why not? Okay. Yeah.
So basically, the idea is not to brainwash kids as what some of the netizens are saying. Idea is, okay, here is a...
I think they're providing a context for all the violence that they're seeing across social media, basically.
And they know that these kids are affected by it because the adults in their life are all talking about it. They are seeing it on the news, they are seeing it on social media.
But I think the biggest contention is the fact that they are not teaching like a holistic history. And I mean, of course, they cannot
There's
do so.
There's no way that they can
because,
do it. Lah.
No, but the thing is, like, they started only on October 7th where, like, Hamas attack happened. So, I mean, of course, a lot of people are outraged about this, lah, because it's like, if you want to teach, right, like, you cannot just arbitrarily start from, like, this point in history and give no context about prior history, right? And
But
and
to
so,
be clear, MOE did the same thing with the Ukraine, Russia, the special military operation.
They
mentioned something about it, and then they're also saying that, look, you know, we are friends to Ukrainians and Russians, but then we don't condone. It's functionally the same message. They kind of...
It is, but I would have to say that, okay, like, I mean, there's a lot of posturing about, like, Palestine and Gaza, and I wouldn't say that I feel more strongly for the people who are in Palestine right now than the people in Sudan, the people in, you know, the Rohingyas or whatever. Like, I don't feel extra empathy towards them, but I would say that there are many within our community who feels more, way more, and they are more affected more deeply because of whatever reasons. And
Hamas propaganda, that's why. Okay, they are affected because it's...
It's a cultural thing.
I can guarantee you it's not a cultural thing. And I can prove it to you, okay? Anybody who is like very upset about Israel and Hamas, right? You just ask them one very simple... You ask them two simple questions, okay? Afghan refugees are being turned away by the Pakistani government back to their home country.
They're not turned away. They're being like...
They're being shoved out.
Right? And all the money that they have to be returned to the government. They can only take out like X amount out of the country, and it's like fucking terrible.
Yeah. So how many Afghan refugees are affected?
I mean, okay, I don't want to talk about like, you know, the emphasis on one over the other.
The answer is 375,000. So, okay... How many Yemeni people have starved to death since the beginning of their civil war 5 years ago? Almost 500,000. Okay.
My God, wow.
You see, here's the real deal, okay? There's Muslim people dying all over the world.
Yeah.
Okay? And as what Angie say, there shouldn't be any one special emphasis one over the other. But then this one, in Israel-Palestine, right? You ask anybody off the street, how many Palestinians have died since the starting of this war? Oh, 30,000. Everybody can quote the fucking number out of their head. This is a function, right, of cyber wellness. You are really kinda influenced by Hamas because this is the number that Hamas keep pumping out. Then all the international bodies all reparating this number. Everybody knows this fucking number, but nobody knows
it's
the other numbers.
Okay, like for the rest of Singaporeans, yes. But then I would say that for like probably the Malay Muslim community in Singapore, like this is not a just from October 7th event that they've been concerned about, right? Like a lot of them grew up with stories about Palestine and, you know, like what's happening there. And even for me, right, like I would say that I didn't really know much about it until this year, where a lot of people have been pumping out resources about it. So, but for them, right, like, to me, what is interesting about it is their concern in it and how that impacts the rest of Singapore, right? Like, you can't just say that, oh, okay, just because we teach the Russian-Ukraine thing to kids like that, then we should teach this the same way, because it's not the same. Like, the way that people feel about it is not the same.
But then the fact of the matter is, Singapore as a world player need to maintain diplomatic ties.
I support the government.
And once again, as per what I said during the Russian-Ukraine war, I think we made an episode about this, and really? I believe I said the same thing, which is, the war has to end at some point. We cannot just forsake diplomacy now at the cost of future diplomacy. Like, we just stage some like angry protest and then just flip the middle finger at Israel.
Like, we did like have sanction on Russia though.
And we were punished for that.
We have like some very minor sanction.
And I'm not saying that, okay, like I think Vivian Balakrishnan had,
and I think that one was done because of the ICJ. The ICJ actually went and put Russia on trial for an illegal invasion. And I mean, as a result, right, we have to abide by international UN standards, wherein everyone that can have to place sanctions upon Russia because they were found guilty of something. Conversely, the ICJ also put Israel on trial, and then the prima facie of it, that means the pre-trial context of it is, okay, doesn't look like you're committing genocide, but remember, don't commit genocide, but then the trial continues. Okay, they're not innocent yet. Okay, to be fair, they're not innocent yet, but they're also not found guilty on the prima facie.
Just to get my stance clear, I'm not saying that we should teach like, oh, okay, there should be justice, blah blah blah. I think we should teach it in a very neutral stance. But I think that what needs to be said is that, Chan Chun Sing was asked whether, like, in an interview like a couple of days ago, like whether like students can opt out of this. And then he gave this like giant fucking answer that basically went around the bush.
Which meant no,
say
right?
No, but he didn't actually outright say no.
Well, Chan Chun Sing is leveling up his politician skills.
I was like, waiting
skills,
the whole time, like, whether yes or no, but he didn't give it. But you know what was very funny? The fact is, right, based on his roundabout answer, I gather that he's saying that you can't opt out of it. But for sex ed, right, in Singapore, you can opt out of it. Huh. So I just don't understand, like, why an issue like Palestine, Israel, that doesn't impact most of the kids, right, I would say, right, like, as with many other conflicts in the world, it doesn't really impact us, except for maybe, like, rising costs issues, right, or whatever. Or some sort of abstract moral, ethical, like, you know, judgments and education. How does that impact the kids here? And
then I think it's more about...
But like sex ed, right? You can opt out of it. It's something that impacts every fucking kid.
It's the FICA thing, right? Which is they are afraid of foreign interference. And this is... I believe, right, this is a very... a good case of literal foreign interference. Hamas brainwashing people all around the world. Saying that, oh yeah, you know, Israel is just indiscriminately killing people. And that...
They're not?
ICJ says no for now, the prima facie of it. And okay,
but like,
people are just repeating all these the talking points, and you are potentially risking the social cohesion of Singapore for the sake of some foreign war that you know next to nothing about.
Okay, I want to interject here for a little bit. I think in line with what John has just said, right? I think what also needs to be taught, you know, outside of this conflict, right? The reasons why they are getting into a fight or whatever is this internet literacy, right? With regards to how to really differentiate suspicious,
fact checking and
suspicious news, right? A lot of these things are really, really need to be taught. And I recently came across this term called a DIP, DIP, okay? Deceptive Imagery Persuasion,
right.
Which means, right, they are
AI
using
stuff, right?
It's not AI,
or even
it's not necessarily AI, okay? They could be using a video clip from a long time ago repackaging it as this is what's happening right now.
I've seen those
before. You know, so there's actually a lot
of warping
it.
The context
In fact, actually AI is being used to try to suss out all these things in order to make sure that people understand that this is deception. This is fake information that's being put out there.
That has always been the context of any information that you see regarding
propaganda.
Correct.
I think this Israel-Hamas war really jacked it up to the next level.
I would say that the
Ukraine war pushed it up, and then the Israel-Hamas war really shot it up.
You
know, it's
on
steroids.
What's interesting to me for in the whole couple of months that this has happened, right, is just looking at the comment section. Even under, like, you know, BBC, CNN, right? Like, everything that has to do with Israel or Hamas, right? Is either, like, the people will be like, oh, this is fake news, it's false. And then you see people just saying that, like, I cannot trust this, I cannot trust that. And I think it's a really interesting phenomenon. And I've not seen, like, even during the Ukraine-Russia conflict, right? I didn't see this level of engagement. It's so insane. It's just nuts.
The thing is, right, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has been on for several decades, and there's a lot of pent-up emotions with regards to it. You know,
everyone is just like high up on their own righteousness. They think that they are on the right side of history, no matter which side they support. All the Israelis think they are on the right side of history. Right. The Palestinians think they are on the right side of history. I mean, look, it's just... Andrew, go first.
Oh, I just wanted to say, right, Germany, right, has been on the wrong side of history consistently, right?
Oh.
And right now, they are supporting Israel.
They are so up Israel. Like,
they're
their nose is just all the way up in Israel's
in fact,
ass.
Right, if you call for ceasefire, right, you call that anti-Semitic. So, you know what I think?
Wow.
I think they're playing the long game. I think, right... They want to just...
Oh. You think the fourth right will rise, is it?
Yes. They want to make people hate
Israel. Yeah.
They want to make people hate Jews so much, right? By them supporting them in this fucking, like, you know, massacre of Palestinians.
Oh my God, Angie.
And then so, when they finally rise again, right? Nobody will gonna stop them.
Yes.
So they're playing the fucking long game. That's what I think.
Yeah. Angela Merkel is like very clever.
No lah, Merkel
Angela
is
Merkel's out already.
It's now is this Olaf Scholz.
Yeah. I don't think Merkel would have let this happen.
No, Merkel is actually very liberal.
Yeah, she's very liberal.
So the good idea that you gave me, right, is that you said that Singaporeans don't know shit about what's going on, right? So I suggest that we try to do something new, revolutionary, that no company has done before. We will create a company that deals with war tourism. Okay, so think carefully.
They're already doing what that.
We
do?
Then we can bring, just now we were saying, we can bring on the BTS influencers, we can bring on the Taylor Swift.
Okay, let's start with kids. So what we do, right, is that we will come up with some capital. Okay, we will give kids like those Taiwanese death masks and then Kevlar vests, first aid and all that shit. Okay, we'll deck kids up in there to protect them. We'll get bulletproof SUVs. We'll get a PMC. Jerry, maybe you can help us out with that. Help us to requisition or source out for a PMC to protect the kids. So we'll have armed guards guarding bulletproof armored kids, right? Then we will drive down, okay, to Palestine, Gaza. We'll tour the war areas. You know, maybe get shot at a few times, but it's fine. You know, and then we will all claim the 4K skills future. What do you guys think?
That's great because
that's actually the best idea you've had
so
far.
Why not? Because he was talking about like how SkillsFuture is actually underutilized in Parliament recently. I think 70% of it has not even utilized SkillsFuture money. So I think that's a better use of SkillsFuture money. Actually.
Can.
But you know what's happening? So like on TikTok, right? Okay, so I'm on TikTok a lot recently. There's this thing where a lot of influencers are actually doing like what you said, war travel.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, like because I've seen like posts going around condemning people who are doing this. You know, so for example, they were saying that the Bethlehem and then Jerusalem is very empty because of this conflict, and then so then people are like going in there to do like the tourism shit. Yeah.
Because there's no other tourists to contend with, right?
Yeah.
Nice, okay.
So all it's right, just freaking hilarious.
That's great. When is Mr. Beast or Ninja or you know Mark M or Markiplier gonna go down to?
All these are millennial influencers. Yeah, they're already done and dusted already.
Zoomers don't watch them.
Oh, no, I gave myself away. Who are the new? Oh my god, I don't know any names. Who's a thing?
I just have
you fucking called me on national TV. Yeah, fuck you, John. Yeah. Fuck you, motherfucker. Nice. How dare you? How dare you? You now I feel the shame, you know.
Because
like,
you had such a good idea just now, right? I need to bring you down to deflate your inflated ego a bit.
You guys know, man? You guys know who kids are watching now, man?
Absolutely
no
not.
we're not kids, man.
Yeah, but you know obviously we don't know.
You know what's trending on my like TikTok right now? It's a very weird trend. I don't know why it's showing up, but you know this manga called Nana? It was written very, very long ago.
Yeah, it's a band. It's a girl music scene.
It's a comic about a band.
Two girls with the same name. One is in a band, one is not.
It's trending now, you know. Then I keep getting like people, like influencers dressing up, cosplaying as Nana and Hachi and all that kind of shit.
Yeah. What's that got to do with the Israel-Palestine conflict?
It's trending.
Sorry.
I'm just reminded of watching the anime. You know, the anime is just... So what happens in the anime, right, is everything happens in the first episode. And then the second to... I watched only 8 episodes. I couldn't finish it, right? Yeah. The second to 8 episodes, right? More than 3/4 of the every episode is a recap of how they felt about what happened in the first episode. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then there's like 5 minutes where stories happen. And then the third episode, they recap about what happened in the first episode and the second episode. And then the last 5 minutes, things happen. And that's just
beautiful.
I used to be like an avid manga reader, right? Mm. But Nana was the one that ended my obsession because I read it when it first came out. So I was following it. Like, it was coming out regularly. Mm. And then at this very important juncture of the story, they stopped. Because the mangaka had some health issues.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And I was just like, you know what? Fuck this shit.
At least he didn't die like the berserk guy.
This is the average... Hunter Hunter experience.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hunter Hunter manga reader experience, okay?
Hunter came out when I was primary school, eh.
Fucking,
that was 1996, bro.
What was the other one? Hajime no Ippo. Finally, right, recently I was looking at some YouTube
things popped up about
Hajime no Ippo updates.
Yeah.
And then he's like, remember reading in the beginning, right? It's like trying to get into the world stage, right?
Yeah.
And then now, right, the recent episodes are he's retired already.
He's
a trainer.
Because his brain got fucked up.
And then he's like, oh, so his dream died, and then
it's a filler story. Yeah, I know.
I thought they need to finish it right away, man. Yeah. Fucking this thing is like taking 30 years.
Do you guys know about this novel called 12 Kingdoms that was later adapted to manga and I think anime? So 12 Kingdoms is also like a sci-fi fantasy kind of Japanese manga. And then the author wrote the novel, originally, right, stopped it. Uh-huh. It's like after a few kingdoms, stop it. Then I think a couple of years ago, they restarted.
Nice.
But then the very sad part is that because they restarted the novel, nobody's picked up the manga and then the anime yet. So I'm just like forever fucking stuck at that. So like nowadays, right, I'm like, unless it's finished, I don't really pick it up anymore.
Ah, like, you're afraid to commit.
Go for the short ones. Go for the short ones.
Yeah,
but short ones don't have that kind of emotional depth.
Guys, I'm really sorry. I really need to go. But before I go, I just need to ask you guys like one question. Can you like just lend me your ears and open up your imagination, close your eyes and let your mind's eye blossom with this image that I'm going to give to you, okay? So I want to imagine, right, they are good friends with Lawrence Wong, right? So basically
I am good friends with
Okay, Lawrence. So imagine, right, that he actually listens to Longkang Kiddies. Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
So he listens to Longkang Kitties, right?
Enough shit about him.
And then he's like, I think that Longkang Kitties is excellent content for our youth. I think you should come down to my house and we can discuss more about maybe collaboration and how we can help each other. So you go down, right? And he plays a little song on the guitar for you. And then you find he's really likable. So you guys have a good chat. You know, you have some tea, some biscuits, some good times together, right? Good times together. Okay. Then after that, you feel like a strange like sensation in your gut. You know, oh, it's time to pee. It's time to poo, whatever. Okay. So you're like, oh, sorry, sir. May I? 对不起，部长, 厕所在哪? You know, where's the toilet?
It's not 部长, it's 总理.
总理, yeah. He's like, oh, over there. Go straight and turn left. So you go past his guard dogs, his giant mansion, right? And then you go to the toilet. So you're feeling pretty good, you know, like, oh, he's going to come onto Longkang Kiddies soon, yeah? Because of the good talk that you had. And then, you know, this is a urinal there. It's a custom urinal, right? And you, I don't know whether you know this, Angie, but you know, in male urinals, right, we've got a fly target. It's like a target.
Yeah, I know.
There's a little fly that is like, at the bottom there, so that you pee at it, right? Yeah. And you look closely, what the fuck is that? You look closely, you see, it's like a 1200 DPI perfect portrait of your face. And it's like there for some time because it's got kind of yellow. It's been there for a long time.
It's a Longkang Kitties portrait, lah.
Yeah, it's your face there. Okay. And it's like high def.
Okay.
It's like you, right? Taken when you are like, I don't know, in your photo or whatever, right? Then you're like a bit unsettled. What the fuck's going on? And then you like suddenly don't feel like peeing anymore. Then you're like, oh, then you wash your hands, you know, freshen up. Then you go back to the table, right? And then this nice Lawrence Wong is coming in. Ah, I hope you are feeling better now. Here, have some refreshments. And then there's like this container of like chrysanthemum tea there. And then everything for you.
Where are you going with this, man?
I don't know.
I gotta pee right now, so I'll be back.
Okay, so the question is, Jerry, will you drink the chrysanthemum tea?
So the question is whether you'll drink it.
Yeah. Will you drink it? What will you do? What will you do at that point of time?
I would pour a cup for him first.
Second.
I'll pour a cup for him first.
Okay. Oh, sir. When you do that, right, he gulps it. Oh.
Then I'll pour another cup for him.
No.
You be like, now you gotta drink already. Are you very thirsty, sir?
Here's, now you gotta drink already. He drinks it like a pervert. What about you, Angie?
You committed already. Now you have
no choice already.
I just
he licks his lips and his eyes glaze with a passion after drinking the chrysanthemum.
I just smell it first.
I just accidentally knock it off the table. Oh my god! I'm so sorry. I'm so clumsy. Oh good god.
He pours you another one.
Can I take a whiff of it and then? Like,
yes, you take a whiff of it.
And then what does it smell like?
Chrysanthemum.
It may or may not be pee.
Now I'm just like, you know what?
I'm not that thirsty.
He's like, no, I insist. And then his eyes turn hard. And then you can see like the throbbing veins in his neck. And behind you can see like armed Gurkhas coming into the room.
Then I'm just like, oh, don't threaten me with a good time, sir. I'm like, I'm getting harder.
Are the Gurkhas like hot and like, you know,
giving me diamonds?
No, they are like using their middle fingers to like finger fuck the trigger guard. They're like, that's what the Gurkhas are doing.
That is a terrible hypothetical.
Jerry, you ever answer what will you do? So both Angie and John would drink.
I would not drink.
Wait, hang on, I just say I won't drink. Does it smell like chrysanthemum tea?
You may or may not smell pee. You can't really tell.
Chrysanthemum pee.
The finest chrysanthemum leaves brewed in the, you know, the pee of the virgin boys or some shit like that.
I don't know, man.
So basically what we found out from the hypothetical.
What happens if we drink it? You know, do we escape death?
I don't know. You just drink it. Let's say you drink it.
No one escapes death.
What? Yeah.
No, like, then why? There's no incentive to drink, or there's no disincentive.
No, no, he wants to come on to Longkang Kiddies, basically. Yeah, yeah.
So we drink and he comes to the Longkang Kiddies.
No, it's just.
He's already on the Longkang Kiddies, right?
So
we're just there for a chat, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. But you feel like the night could go very poorly if you didn't drink it.
You know what? I don't love you guys. I don't love the Longkang Kiddies enough to drink pee.
Pee is sterile. Pee. It's sterile and it's got ice inside, so it's cold.
It's fine.
That makes it even more disgusting.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. You have to put me in a situation before I can say
it. You
just say, no and then just be done with
this. Really?
Just
Ben, just say no.
Yeah, drink it. Drink it. Just drink it.
You're like a fucking pervert. Drinking makes you hard. That's why.
No. I want him to come out Longkang Kiddies. And that's what it takes.
You're
just
like,
to drink pee.
No,
you come
don't just let me drink it. Just, you know, like pee directly into my mouth.
Oh my goodness.
Right, Dan Wong?
If you say that, you will break the universe. You cannot do that. You must drink it pretending knowing that it's pee.
It must be indirect.
Yeah,
I just
correct.
Must be indirect.
You must give him the thrill of like thinking that he tricked you, is it? It's like, ha 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 ha.
No, he wants the power play. He wants you to drink it, know that it's pee and still drink it. Yeah. And then maintain the facade. That's what he wants.
Okay.
I cannot. But you know, there's one thing that I would like to just briefly mention before we knock off this episode.
Sure.
I just like to change Shanmugam's our nickname for Shanmugam. So instead of the five head, right?
Yes.
I would like to call him from now on Smugmugam. Because Thailand has reversed their cannabis policy.
Yeah. They did.
Okay, they did.
So from now on, right, I tell you. You know, one of the things that people always talk about, like they are saying, what about medical marijuana and whatever, right? Then the go-to example is, Thailand has done it. Then Shanmugam actually very critical of it. Mm. Like he was just like, oh, you know, it's probably a bad idea, blah, 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 blah. And then now, right, he is completely validated. He is.
But they're not using. They were using it for like recreational.
Yeah, oh, they are using
it.
Very, very excessively. But look, this is not about semantics. This is not about. This is just pure optics. This is a purely optics victory for him. From now on, right, he can always use Thailand as a bludgeon.
Totally.
To just whack anybody that just criticize Singapore's drug stance, even the medical marijuana usage. And then from now on, right, he is going to be smug.
Yeah,
like
totally.
You are
totally right. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally
so Mugam is going to be a smug Mugam.
When Thailand announced in that morning, that day, when they repealed the laws, his lip curled back towards, with such force towards his ear, that the wall behind him shattered, you know. You know, like, kind of punch that. And then all the drug abusers in Singapore, like, involuntarily just pee their pants. Just like that.
Was that what went into the chrysanthemum tea?
Drug
it's
pee.
All the,
yeah, you
the
get high.
Fear of the drug users.
Yeah, all the cannabinoids in that chrysanthemum there.
You probably get high as hell if you drank that. But then, wouldn't that be the state drugging you then? Wouldn't that be a state-approved use of drugs? Huh?
Angie, don't ever criticize what our future PM is going to do.
I think broken down cannabinoids is not as effective.
Really?
Yeah.
No, but it stays in your system for like months and months.
So they are saying that you can have cannabis, just the watered down, broken up version of it. The one that I approve.
I still want to make a case for like medical use. I think like Thailand.
But I think in Singapore, they do approve.
No, case by case.
It's very, very difficult.
It's very niche.
Yeah, it's very difficult, but you can approve it.
Like, I think, right, if anywhere can do like medical marijuana, it would be Singapore because we've got such fucking tight laws. And I don't think that people should be able to buy marijuana off the streets, but I think that there should be cases for.
Aren't we doing it like in the sense that there are medical firms, pharma in Singapore growing?
Yeah, the synthetic one versions, lah. But you don't know when that's gonna come.
But guys, this is just to double confirm, right? You guys know, right? Like CBD oil is not going to get you high. You know this, right? CBD is not an active component.
It's
you need to burn it so that you get THC.
Yes.
Then you get high. So actually,
I know a lot about drugs, Dan Wong.
Yeah, Lawrence Wong taught me this. Yeah. So anyway, because I'm friends with Lawrence Wong, right?
You're gonna be visited by Smugmugam.
Smugmugam.
By tonight, you know, he's gonna visit you in your dreams, you know.
So I've actually consumed CBD from somebody who acquired it medically in an approved fashion, right? So I basically was like, "Hey, we'll get high or not?" And then he's like, "No, don't be stupid. That eat one, that eat two, that eat three, that I ate six there." And you know what happened? My vision became like HD vision, like. like 1920 by 1080. I didn't feel anything other than like sharp vision and like focus. So I think we should feed our kids.
Are you sure you
And then Smugam came out and gave you a high five, right?
Yeah.
To the face.
Smugam comes up.
Are you sure you consume CBD or is it, you know, a very, very a mild form of...
There's only one CBD cocaine. You need to know. The Central Business District, Denmark.
Get your approved one in Singapore.
Let's get your ass to work, okay?
After I took the 6 pills, I went to go for the reservist marksman test. Mm. Do you know how much I got? 40 or 40 marksman. Because I could see everything clearly, you know. And my hands were so steady, wow.
Right.
We'd like to report that there was a misfire accident where 40 men were killed by a single rogue soldier, Dan Wong Bushnell.
To use his name in vain. Oh my goodness.
Tisk.
Alright, alright. We gotta head off. You all got last words? Anything, final thing to say?
Meow.
Okay.
Is she? No, she's not there.
Yeah, no, my cat's hiding.
Yeah, hoping to get a last word from the cat.
Yeah, Brownie's hiding.
It's all good. Okay, and with that shall be the end of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening in. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, join our Discord. Find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We are on all the social media. Our TikTok is popping, yo. It's popping off.
Please come and troll us on TikTok.
Give us a nasty comment. Give us a nice comment. Just say, we love John, we love Angie, we love Jerry. Okay, just say those things.
What about me?
come and hate us on TikTok, man. We just want to engage.
I purposely excluded you, Dan Wong, because of your CBD usage. Okay? Non-approved CBD usage.
But Smart Mugam does not approve.
Does not. Okay? And that shall be it. Please join us for the next episode. We shall see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.